M42, number 4A.
We started out with that main tone of truth in Samuel, and we saw up to that point that Samuel presents the emergence of true manhood out of a mortal sense of manhood, the emergence of the dominion of true manhood. And I like the way it was put this morning, that it is an emergence, emerging into true manhood, which is quite different than if you are in full possession of the Christ consciousness, which constantly demonstrates at every instant and in every situation the truth about everything. David was much more a man like we are, that we have to work it out first and have to face all the claims of mortal manhood, but he shows that these claims can be met. I think at this point we left the subject this morning, and perhaps I want to ask you, those who have done this assignment on this subject, what did you feel was the ideas that strike us most here in that long tone of truth? Yes? What did you feel when you were reading Samuel? I don't mind, you read a lot. It goes over chapters and chapters and chapters and chapters over my truth is mind, truth is spirit, truth is soul, and so on. So there is a lot of information there. So what is the text showing completely different than before?
Well, David is instantly ready to change among the seed of the Aaron.
Yes.
In every case.
I think that's a very definite tone in here, which means that David can make mistakes, that he is willing to see the mistakes, and he is willing to, what is religiously called, repent of doing these mistakes, and showing that if we go through the period of repentance, that we come out better than how we went into the situation. This would indicate that we could always make the best of any situation if you are willing to follow the divine order. What were the various incidents in which David showed how he would have to correct his attitude? You know, how does the whole story start out? You know, it started out with that wonderful story that he sent his general, the captain, his general Joab, to fight the enemy, and he's set at home. And Joab wasn't victorious. You hear at once the tone of truth, victory, and Joab couldn't be victorious. And then what was the solution? See, David had to go into battle himself. And when he went into battle himself, when he became active in truth, truth as mind, when he acted according to truth and just didn't sit back and say, well, you do it, I hope it will work out anyway. You know, it's that attitude, the idea, we'll do it anyway, and not accompany that consciousness with action, with definite steps to be taken, with activities, then the idea doesn't work out itself just the way we love to see it. So he had to go and lead the warfare, and then they were victorious. So it gives a sense that we cannot just say we are the divine idea of God. That's our manhood. Man is the idea of God, and that's that. We jolly well cannot be victorious just by that statement. It tends to show that we have somehow to put this idea into action, that is, that we have to act according to it. So if we want to have a victory, we better go into the battle instead of staying out. So that was one of the first great incidents which showed that David was willing to correct his attitude. Then you had that other incident that is more known, that wonderful, wonderful incident about David and Bathsheba. I think it's one of the most tender story that we have in David's life, or perhaps in the Old Testament, showing that mortal manhood got the upper hand over him, and he was willing to take any risk and make any wrong step in order that mortal manhood got the upper hand in him. But the moment he could see that he made a mistake, and that was naturally spelled out as Nathan that came and said, David, you can't get along like this. Sooner or later you have to rectify that. And he became aware of it. He really was willing to repent. That's a very religious term, but it is shown there through that beautiful story how he repented, that he went into his closet, shut himself up for 7 days. Well, what means 7 days? Doesn't mean that for 7 days he was somewhere in a room in his kingly castle, but that he went into the holiest of his own being and was contemplating really his whole manhood through the 7 days of creation from the point of view of the seven synonymous terms. And in doing that, he naturally established within his consciousness the true idea of man. That man, that is the idea of mind and of spirit and of soul and of principle and of life and of truth and of love. And when he had pondered that over and over to the point where he felt at peace, the child died. You see, the child of Bathsheba died. It took away the effect of error. Did not only take away the cause of error, but it also took away the effect of error. So through his consciousness going right into the holiest of holiest and building up in consciousness really the compound idea man, in that consciousness there can be neither an erroneous cause nor an erroneous effect, and so the child died. And he rose up, as it was said, and clothed himself anew. Clothing was always a symbol for truth, the garment of truth, because clothing is a symbol for the form of truth, for the gestalt of truth, because one always could know anybody at that time what he is, what his duty is through the clothes he wore. Everyone was only allowed to wear certain clothes for if he had a certain assignment in the community. So he clothed him anew, or changed his, actually I think it was that he changed his clothes, he took off mortality and put on immortality, that's changing his clothes, and then the new idea, the true son, could be born. Then to Bathsheba, the true idea, the true son, Solomon, was born. And you see, out of this situation, of this erroneous situation, he could make the highest demonstration. Because Solomon afterwards was the one who would take on his kingship, and not the other sons. He had quite a lot of other sons and daughters, I think, and so on, as these kings usually had. But that son that came out of that consciousness of immortality really then could take over the kingship when David passed away. So here you have truth. It is in the tone of truth, the soul, naturally. He showed this beautiful story that one should never let oneself down, that there is never any cause for feeling that because of an error we are sacked, we are finished, but that we can see that if we are honest to ourselves and take it serious, that we still can make a blessing out of every situation. Now, no matter if that situation is a sickness, no matter if that situation is an accident, or is a loss of a job, or loss of finance, or loss of anything, whatever that erroneous situation may be, came about, there is always a possibility of changing that, of overturning and overturning that to the point where it begins to bless us. Truth as soul. Truth blesses us. Yes. Is that, can you see that story? Well, the Bible then goes on and takes in other illustrations about the very same thing to find out what is our true sense of manhood and where are we, where have we a weak spot. And usually the weak spot that people have who have wife and children and family is always the family. The family is always the weak spot. So he had to work out the family claim. And he had especially to work it out with his son Absalom. Absalom, was murdering his brother Amnon because they were fighting over a sister, that is, over a daughter of David. And so finally Absalom killed Amnon, and Absalom fled. And that is naturally something that the father can hardly stomach. So here comes again up that whole question, what is man? What is the true family? Is the family a family of people, a people family, or is it a family of ideas? So he had to work out that. Because that Absalom just seemed to be the very counterfeit of David. No one of the other sons that he had were so much the very counterfeit of the David consciousness. Absalom was a vain man, they described him. A vain man. A man that was full of hypocrisy, of deceit. Always operated in the secrecy and tried to bring the people on his side so as to establish himself as the king. He wanted to usurp, is that the right term, usurp the throne of David, and tried it through the opposite of truth, through lying, deceit, hypocrisy, and in order to be established as king, and he nearly achieved it. You see, David was not willing to deal promptly with Absalom. When Absalom had killed Amon, he wanted to reconcile himself with Absalom. He did everything just to get peace again. And that didn't work. We can see he didn't try to work out manhood on the basis of ideas, but on the basis of human goodness, of human reconciliation, of straightening things out humanly, but not divinely. So he got more and more into trouble with Absalom until Absalom was nominated king and was, so to say, the counter-king for quite a while in Israel. And David had to flee before Absalom. Can you see how he began to lose, so to say, his kingship, his true manhood, because he was not willing to deal within himself with the human properly, and let, so to say, the wrong sense of the human operate within himself. So you also see that Absalom had a counselor with a very funny name, whatever it is, the pronunciation in the English, some kind of Ahithophel, or Ahithophel, yeah, whatever that name is. It was the name for a fool. So Absalom was fooled in his counsel. Can you see the tone of truth, the counterfeit of truth? He was counseled by a fool. And so, but as you know then, as the story goes on, David went into battle against Absalom, and Absalom had, into battle with Absalom, then you know that Absalom was caught somewhere in the tree of an oak with his hair hanging, bangling around there on that tree. And then came again good Joab, as his general. He was always the one who put things straight for David. He represented, so to say, the matter-of-fact men in David, that did not let himself be sidetracked by sentimental reasons, like David still did when it was a matter of his family. So he came along and just killed him. though, that David said when they went into battle against Absalom, they said, deal gently with Absalom. You see, we can't deal gently with error. Somehow there comes a moment when we have to pull up our socks and say, that's now enough. Now we go to finish it up once and for all. So David didn't want to do that. You see, he still had a feeling, oh, let's have peace in the family. Let's not have struggle and strife and dissension in the family. It would be so nice to... if everybody in the family would be okay. And it didn't work. It never worked. So Joab was the one who didn't let himself be sidetracked by that kind of humanhood, by that sentimental side of humanhood, and it just killed him. Yeah. Now, we always can say, you see, all these figures are not separate figures. They all constitute, if we translate it into the spiritual, they always constitute a single type, namely that David is as well Joab, that he is also Absalom. He is everything. Just as we can recognize within ourselves the David, we also can recognize within ourselves the Joab or the Absalom. So we don't have to think in terms of different people doing something to each other. Or the story doesn't really sound very nice. But if you have it all in one, then you can see that through this whole development here in the tone of truth, really David began to learn where his weak spots are. And he began to correct them, and he always could correct them. And some kind of an idea or quality, if that quality was now a Joab or whatever it was, always came and helped him. Can you see the compound idea of the world always comes and helps the true consciousness of man? No matter if it's shown here in the human, when we go through the Matthew story, it's always ideas that came to help Jesus. Here it is, the human good qualities that came and helped him. So that finally, at the end of that story, we have that beautiful saying, or that point where Israel said, "Now, David, don't go anymore into battle. You are too much value than to be exposed to the possibility of being killed. You see, thou art worth 10,000 of us." You see the beauty? Thou art worth 10,000 of us. Isn't that true? That in the measure that we take in into our consciousness 10,000 ideas, that is much more worth than anybody else, than anything else. And that can never then anymore be endangered. So he began to feel the value of true manhood. See? He began to value now that he is worth everything. Worth everything. Terrific sense of admitting to ourselves that we are the sons of God. Isn't it? You see, we always say in text interpretation, try to see always the beginning and the end of a subject, no matter if it's the beginning of a chapter and compare it with the end of the chapter, because that always indicates the range within which the story develops. Or to compare the beginning of a tone and the end of a tone. Just as we had it in mind, we said, what was the beginning of the tone of mind? It was the desire of Hannah. What was the perceiving the true idea of the parent mind? What was the end of it? Samuel giving his account and say, didn't I do it perfectly? And so here too, you see it very nicely. The beginning was that David was reprimanded because he didn't go into battle. They couldn't win until he went into battle. At the end of the story, it's just the other way around, that they say, you are no more allowed to go into battle. You are of too great a value than to put you into a situation where it could harm you. You are much more of value to us, and therefore stay out of danger. Well, naturally we can see in between that whole story is a whole development of that consciousness. Namely, that consciousness which had to start to take in all the ideas of God. Therefore, had first to prove for himself the tone of mind to be active in truth. Had first to prove for himself the tone of truth as spirit with Bathsheba. He had first to prove within himself the tone of soul that he can repent and come out unharmed. He had first to prove. You see, that he had an impersonal sense of manhood with Absalom. He had first to prove all that before at the end he was even freed from a sense that he should lament over Absalom. He lamented over Absalom. And Joab just came and wiped him off. Huh? Said, now, let's go on with the business. Huh? Let's not fool around any longer with it. And at that point, he began to see that manhood is complete, and that is of greater value than 10,000 of us. Isn't that the story? It's us. Huh? It's us. Each one of us is a David. And to each one of us, these claims come to us. To each one of us comes the claim of a counterfeit of mind, a counterfeit of spirit, a counterfeit of soul, a counterfeit of principle, a counterfeit of life, a counterfeit of truth, and a counterfeit of law. To each one, nobody is excluded. Therefore, we somehow would have to know how to deal with these counterfeits. Yes? So, this was the tone of truth. I think it's quite a different story, say, than the one before in life, where the whole tone was always that he felt, I can only reign, the government principle is only a government, if at the point of life I'm a father to the whole universe, I'm a father to Israel and Judah. Therefore, father to everyone, even the father to my former enemies, even the father to the sons of Saul. I have to support them and feed them. I'm not going to build up my government on the basis of destruction. Yeah, isn't that a complete different tone? Huh? The fatherhood of it, and now suddenly the sonship of it. Suddenly, the realization that David has to accept for himself and affirm for himself everything that is right, and not just everything that is human. He had to do even to reject what was humanly considered to be right, and had to affirm for himself what divinely is right.
This is a bit
Yes, because you can see here. You see that this is only appearing at the tone of truth, whereas in the tone of mind and spirit you would have that. Huh? You would have the Jonathan, and you would let the Jonathan live, huh? And let the Jonathan be your servant. But when you grow to the point, or when you come to the point of truth, you can't tolerate error anymore in any way. Huh? Therefore, that tone of truth cannot stand at the beginning. You see? Therefore, our consciousness of truth must include the consciousness of mind and spirit and soul and principle and life and all what that includes. So that you have really a wholeness which takes in all the levels of experience in the right way.